This month on Elder Voices, you're listening to Guy Martin of Nome, Alaska. Elder Voices, a window to the past, a door to the future.
My name is Arthur Guy Martin. My Inupiat name is Gingak, and I was born in Nome in 1942, April 5th, 1942, at the old hospital on 2nd Avenue. I was fortunate enough to be with my grandma Garney at Fort Davis. There were only two or three people living down there. Now we almost have a village there, you know, which is good. When I was down there with Grandma Garney, Poyuna, her first name is Poyuna, respectfully. We lived right near the river there, and you could walk over and we fish for tomcods and flounder. The flounder are real small, but they're tasty. And what we did there was we put them away, we dried them, and we had half dry and all that stuff. Shared that with our extended family up here. That's a big part of subsistence. You do what you can in gathering food and continuing tradition, continuing the culture, and then to continuing what the elders pass on. It sounds funny, I used to like to pick berries and greens because I love eating them. That's a responsibility too, you know, sit around and pig up food and not participate in gathering. That's a no-no, unless you're really down and out like Lazarus in the Bible. Other things I enjoy is eating the subsistence caught food. For years I shared that, and I learned that from our customs, and it's still a big cardinal rule. It's a big rule that any young man or young lady that gets their first animal by hunting has to share, has to give it away. You take nothing from that. That first animal, you have to give it away. You're taught you won't take a hair off that animal, not a half ounce of flesh. It's a gift and it has to be done that way. Importance of that is because, first of all, it's a custom and tradition, and it shows respect. It usually goes to a person that can't hunt anymore, and a tradition of sharing. So if a lady, for instance, her husband dies, that first caught animal goes to that widow or to a family that's unable to hunt. It's very, very important. We in turn take the time to teach our young folks. Doesn't matter if they're family or not. You teach your family first, and then if they have a friend or a child that does not have a parent, there's no question. You just take them along with you and they learn that way, skinning a beaver or whatever. The elders taught us to respect the animals. I mean, not to bow down in front of them, but we had certain rituals and they still practice some of it. And grateful for that, so we could pass that on to our youth. It also reminds us of our differences in seasons. Down here, we'd be able to pick greens at a certain time of the year, or berries. A little ways away, you have to do it earlier or later. That's pretty much the norm. We've had off seasons where it's all screwed up. I started noticing that anyway in about 1956. If you talk about climate change, we're very aware of that. We don't panic because our elders told us there were cycles. Cold, cool, warm, and again, cold, cool, warm. So we look at it as how we adapt. It's still a staple in our diet, which is for eating and enjoyment and sustenance, but also the act of collecting food is, in my estimation, what elders told me is spiritual and well-being. I didn't understand that till I got older and started building a vocabulary and trying to understand what the elders were teaching us. There are always reasons for how we act and what we do in life. If we're content, then we tend to act normally, if you will. You tend to remember what you're being taught. You tend to share with others a little more. You tend to laugh more. You have respect for others. When something happens that creates disharmony, then like any other human, you get cranky and you may or not say something that would be cruel or semi-cruel. So that's what I mean by well-being and spiritual. We really hope to show our young children, young adults, what our ancestors are doing and why it's important spiritually, why it's important for well-being. Culture and well-being, I keep going back into spirituality, not just sustenance, not just eating the food. It all three go together. You break one of those three principles and it leads to social behavior that may or may not be analyzed at this time. And so that's what I mean by well-being, spirituality, and sustenance. It's tradition to practice subsistence and to practice it in a way that has been practiced by our ancestors and then more recently by our elders. It's part of our makeup. You take away tradition or you break tradition, you're interfering with the other principles in our culture and our subsistence and also our spirituality. At our Asitnasak Corporation, based in Nome, we have an elders committee and I'm an advisory member on that. And one of the things that's just so exciting every year is they do a subsistence calendar. Within the calendar, it doesn't just have January, then a Inupiat name. We have photos and small words that explain subsistence gathering, cutting fish, and we have pictures of our elders doing it so it won't go away. In other words, you can sit with someone one-on-one and talk to them and look at their horn-rimmed glasses. It's not like showing them actual photos of people working at subsistence, cutting fish, hanging fish, cutting up meat, marine mammals, and hanging the meat up for later use, and picking berries. It shows people actually doing it. And some might say, well, what's the big deal about that? Here's the big deal about that. You're actually watching people practice subsistence, picking berries and greens and other activities. So I'm real excited about the elders calendar, and we have a lot of people that share to pass on to our youth actual photos, actual words and recipes, and that will help educate and help pass on to our youth what our elders are doing. It's not living in the past. It's continuing our culture. The naysayers will say, well, you're living in the past. We're not living in the past. We honor the past, and we're moving ahead.
You've been listening to Guy Martin on Elder Voices, part one of a three-part series produced here at KNOM. Hear part two of the series tomorrow after the 9 o'clock and 6 o'clock weather. KNOM, yours for the stories of Western Alaska's elders.